Welcome to Citizens Climate University tonight. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and we're lucky to have a wonderful topic that I think is relevant for all of us in the organization as we engage in our volunteer network. The topic is called When Others Drop the Ball, Responding in a Supportive Manner that Inspires Action. And with us tonight, our very own Tamara Staton is going to be the main presenter. Tamara is the co-founder of the Portland chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby back in 2012. And continues as lead facilitator of that chapter today. In 2014, she stepped up as regional coordinator for the Greater Pacific Northwest and supports leaders today still in the expansion efforts in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Alaska, Hawaii, and American Samoa. Outside of CCL, Tamara is a consultant, a facilitator, a coach, an educator, and a friend to many, with over 20 years experience in the fields of development and communication, and she's worked both one-on-one and in groups in the areas of leadership development and team building, and currently works with solar companies to improve organizational culture and communication through her company, Thriving Solar. But I'll pass it to you, Tamara, to jump in, talk about the learning goals and why we're all here tonight.
So to dive right in, I just want to mention to say that most of us have been in a place where we've agreed to do things that we just don't end up doing. For a variety of reasons, what we've agreed to do just doesn't end up happening. Similarly, most of us have been on the other side of this equation where someone has agreed to do something that doesn't happen or they don't follow through with. So for many of us, a natural response is to grow annoyed or angry with this other person or even with ourselves, feeling resentful or full of blame or disgust, inclined to turn our backs in distrust perhaps. Others may feel more overtly hurt or disappointed with a concern that this person just can't be relied upon. We're going to get into more of those nitty-gritty in a bit, but the intention of this CCU is to provide support, perspective, and ideas for responding to others in a manner that embodies the CCL values of relationships, personal power, integrity, and optimism. If we're intentional about our responses and aware of what comes up for us when others don't follow through, then it's possible to respond in a supportive manner that inspires action. So the quote I share here is from a dear friend and CCL colleague of mine. It references a conversation that we'd had earlier that day regarding some of the challenges that they were having with some of the volunteers that they work with. And in part of the conversation, I shared about some of my experience, specifically about what's worked for me in working with other people. And by the end of the conversation, my friend was really grateful for what and how I had shared and encouraged me to do a CCU about it. So that's why I'm here. And the first part of the quote is pretty straightforward. The second part likely needs some explaining. Mindsight. So as you may know, mindsight is a term coined by the neurobiologist Daniel Siegel, who's one of my favorite authors, and it refers to a kind of focused attention that allows us to see the inner workings of our own minds, and it helps us get ourselves off the autopilot of ingrained behaviors and habitual responses. It lets us name and tame the emotions we're experiencing rather than being overwhelmed by them. So I'm going to dive in to give you an overview of what we'll be doing tonight. And so right after this, we'll be doing an interactive group share so we can hear about some of your own personal experiences with this. And then we'll talk about what to consider before a conversation, tips to consider for during a conversation. We'll do a partner activity in breakout rooms so you can practice these skills. And then we'll talk about how to support others in following through so that we can have fewer drop balls. And then we'll dive into the Q&A. So before we dive into our vegan meatballs and cheesy potatoes to make it all diverse, take a moment to think of the last time someone said that they would do something that they didn't do, if possible, in one of your CCL circles. Maybe they signed up to table and they didn't show up. Maybe they agreed to call people, but they didn't. Or perhaps they said that they would fill out a spreadsheet, but it remains empty. With a little bit of background, there are a number of things to do before diving into a conversation with this person. Sometimes we do just dive in, right? We speak off the cuff and, you know, in a perfect world, then we have more time and we can take more time. So first of all, you want to assess the situation and check your assumptions. Did the ball really get dropped? Is it possible that they meant something else? How clear did you make yourself? So sometimes our requests and the other person's commitment aren't in alignment, and possibly the request isn't clearly communicated, or the delegator hears what they want to hear rather than what the listener said, even in a nuanced way. This happens a lot, especially in the volunteer world. You've probably experienced this. Volunteers raise their hand at a meeting, and have no real idea what they're committing to. Or maybe they're just trying to avoid the awkward silence, and so they kill it with a volunteer, with a motion to volunteer, rather. So before riding your emotional wave, check your assumptions, remind yourself of the agreement or the lack of agreement, and have whatever conversation or conversations you need to have to clarify that reality. And the process we're about to outline below can be helpful whether or not a ball has been dropped or more common miscommunication has happened. So another thing to notice before having a conversation is your own initial reaction. We all have a response to unkept promises, and there are a number of common ones. So maybe you feel confused as to why they volunteered for something that they didn't do, or maybe you feel really disappointed that they said they'd make 2 calls this week, but they didn't. It's quite possible that you have varying levels of frustration or even anger that they said they'd come to the meeting, but they didn't show up, especially if this has happened to you before, either with them or with other volunteers. And maybe, depending on the situation, you even harbor some resentment towards this person for their unkept promise. It's pretty normal for us to feel such distance at times like this. And your feelings could then even move you towards losing trust in this person, particularly if this isn't the first time that they've agreed to do something, but they didn't. And perhaps you might even feel rejected by their actions, or rather their inaction. So gaining perspective on your own reaction is a really important aspect of mindsight and can help your conversations and interactions with the people in your life be much more productive, enlivening, and beneficial to the relationship. It can be helpful to explore what your reaction is really about underneath it all. Are you really bothered by the fact that they didn't show up to the meeting? Or perhaps does it trigger your concerns about how hard it's been to get people to come and leave you questioning your ability to lead a group, for example? I'm not saying that it should leave you questioning this. I'm just saying that it's totally normal if it does. So you can ask yourself the following questions to help guide this internal exploration. What bothers me about what happened? What value do I hold which has been dishonored? So for example, for me, integrity is really important. And when somebody says that they'll do something and they don't do it, for me, that feels like a lack of integrity. So another question is, does this remind me of someone or something in my life, past or present, that tends to upset me? We carry all of our stuff from our past into our present. So does it remind you of a conversation or of an experience that you used to have with your sister or with your dad or somebody in your life that is more triggering than this volunteer on the street? So we'd love to hear again from 2 to 3 people to have you share either your emotional response to a situation in your own life and what the original source of your reaction might be. What's the underlying concern for you? A lacking value, a deeper trigger? Our conversations can often be easier if we start with the end in mind. What do you really want? What's the overarching goal? Do we want this person to continue to participate with CCL? Do we want them to foster a positive relationship with this person? Very likely on this call, we're all hoping to enact carbon fee and dividend legislation. And in the bigger picture, we each want progress on climate mitigation. I think that it can be tempting to think, well, I just want them to do it. I just want the thing to get done. But that's not really the full end. Like if you look at that picture, like the very end of that road, what are we really going for? What do we really want, regardless of the task right now? So we can consider then what type of interaction and conversation will help us meet our end goal. So sometimes we really have good intentions, but our brain gets the best of us. I know that it's like that for me with my closest relationships, like with my husband, for example. Sometimes I just react. And we may want to respond in a certain way, but our initial and knee-jerk reaction may keep us from meeting our goal. And that's why it can be helpful to better understand our internal responses and get to the source. So we're going to do that a little bit, explore a little bit of neurobiology. So this next section is going to make a lot more sense and be a lot more fun for you if you play along from behind your phone or computer. So make a fist and move. If your thumb is on the outside, move your thumb to the inside of your fist and imagine that this is your brain. Okay. If you open your brain to examine what's in there, you'll see 2 key parts, your thumb and the insides of your fingers. Your thumb is the deepest and oldest part of the brain and represents the thalamus and the hypothalamus, which processes nearly all of our emotions. especially the knee-jerk ones. And when we're bothered that a ball has been dropped, this is the part of the brain that lights up. So your fingers represent the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain where we do our best thinking. And when we get triggered or bothered by something in a big way, we flip our lid. So what happens is your fingers open up from your thumb, and the connections between the inner brain and the outer brain get severed for 20 minutes. And so this disconnect means that we can't think. We can't think clearly. We can't offer compassion. We can't come up with good solutions. And so knowing this about your brain can serve as a reminder to take at least a 20-minute breather to let your brain parts reconnect so you can think clearly and lovingly. The trick with the 20 minutes is to make sure you're actually doing something that allows you to calm down, like listening to music or reading a book or meditating or running or anything, but make sure you don't get triggered by something else in those 20 minutes. Otherwise, you'll just flip your lid again and you'll just start all over. In addition to considering our own reaction, it's important and valuable to take the perspective of the other person. What might have been standing in their way? What might they know or not know? What might their own internal reactions be? You can imagine how hard it is to put yourself in someone else's shoes if you don't even know what it's really like to be in yours. I mean, we all have our experiential side, but one of the benefits of self-exploration and discovery is if you can really get underneath it, then it helps you connect to what's underneath that person, which they're more than likely not going to show you or tell you for most of our volunteers, I would say. So it's also important to manage our expectations, keeping in mind one of CCL's core values of optimism. We believe that people most often have good intentions. Perhaps they struggle to say no for a whole host of reasons. Most people, for example, don't want to let others down. So they don't want to let themselves down for not having time and feel that they don't have time. They also don't want to feel like they don't have time to work on what they want in the world. And saying no to other people often brings all of this stuff up for us. And so it's sort of easier to just say yes and then deal with it. And that's what happens sometimes. So the other way to put yourself in somebody else's shoes is to think about the last time you dropped a ball. What got in your way? And sometimes, you know, while we're different people and different individuals, thinking about what got in our way can often be the same or similar to what somebody else experienced that got in theirs. I also want to mention the benefit of using an approach advocated in CCL's Transformational Organizing Guide, which I think the link is going to be put in the chat here. And the third pillar is all about the blame bias and how we can move away from it. One approach, an acronym that CCL provides, is REAP, which helps us look at a situation objectively with an open mind. REAP stands for remember, explain, ask, and plan. And then, of course, we reap what we sow. So remember, when you find yourself blaming an individual for a situation, stop yourself and remember to assume positive intent. What are they really wanting underneath it? What are they really trying to get to? Explain. Before addressing the situation, come up with alternative scenarios that it could explain the behavior without assuming a problem with the individual. What might have come up for them, for example? What might have had them sign up but not follow through? What might be challenging for them about following through? And the A and the P, the ask and the plan, we're going to delve into that a little bit more in our next section. Now we want to talk about during a conversation. All of that was preparedness for yourself to help the conversation go well. And now we're getting closer to diving in. So the first thing I want to stress about the conversation itself is to have it. It's tempting to sweep it under the rug, and most of us do this much of the time, even in little ways. You know, we don't want to see them. We sort of hope they won't come to the meeting. We don't want to bump into them in the store. And you may be concerned about putting them on the spot or making them feel wrong or bad. I know that's how it used to be for me. I was afraid that I would just come out wrong and they would think that I was upset and that I was, you know, I wanted to make sure that they didn't think that I was, you know, I didn't push them away, basically. But the likelihood is that if this person really did say that they would do something and they didn't do it, both of you are aware of it and both of you feel it and you have your own reactions to it. And if you ignore it, then it never really gets resolved and it can leave this awkward space between people, and it's really hard to fix the space later. It's better to fix it now or address it, maybe not fix it. Fix it's not the right word, but addressing it. So during the conversation, it's also helpful to create a sense of relatedness and equal footing. So this is the addressing it part. So sharing that I've been there, I totally get it, goes a really long way. Maybe share what's hard for you in those situations or what keeps you from following through, but maintain an air of curiosity. It's tempting to think that we know, especially if we've gone through the trouble to put ourselves in their shoes, but really we don't know. It's their experience. Ours may be similar, but it's still theirs. And staying curious massively helps the conversation go smoothly in our relationship as well with this person. I'm thinking about that group leader that was sort of shaming people in the group. And if she had come from a place of curiosity, like, hey, what's happening? You know, is it me? Is it us? Like, let's explore this together. It would create a totally different dynamic in a different space, I'm sure. The other piece is integrating gratitude. And that really helps create a sense of relatedness. Thanking them for what you can thank them for the other areas where they've been successful, the last thing that they did perhaps, or maybe even just because of their passion and willingness to take this thing on. Intention deserves appreciation. So the only thing is make sure that it's authentic, because most people can feel their way through the inauthenticity of fluff. So another thing to consider during the conversation is to steer clear of the blame bias. We sort of talked about this already, but it can be pretty hard to stay away from the blame bias, especially if we're still feeling disappointed or frustrated or angry or resentful. You know, maybe your brain just hasn't quite reconnected, and or there's some old wounds there that are really, really hard to let go. But if at all possible, avoid making the person wrong for dropping the ball, even in your tone, in your body language, which is 90% of how we communicate. So you'll want to consider that this person is likely already feeling bad in some way for not having done what they said, even if they don't show it. They may have a strong, really strong inner critic that they don't let out. Like my husband, super hard on himself, but he pretends like he doesn't really care. So you'll want to be very intentional about the words and the tone that you use with them when you're exploring the situation, so you don't trigger any defensiveness or resent or shame on their part. And so, as we mentioned, you want to take on curiosity and possibility of problem solving, coming from a place of there is a way through that leads to success. Let's find it. I'm here. I'm on your team. Let's do this together. One way to do that is by exploring with them from a curiosity place, perhaps about what gets in their way and if there's anything that you can do to support them from removing those hurdles that came up for them. So as we wrap up this section of what to consider during a conversation, ask if they'd like some ideas. You could share some of what has worked for you and allow space for them to chime in about whether they think that this idea of yours might work for them, or perhaps whether they've even tried that. They may even come back with, yeah, I tried that and that didn't work. It's really valuable to express compassion and appreciation for when they've already tried something and it didn't work, because that can be really frustrating for both of you, actually. So the other thing is, again, appreciation. Emphasize that they're still appreciated despite not doing what they said that they would do. Make it easy for them to say no if that's a better fit for them and if that works for your project. Sometimes we can't just give up on having them do it because there's a deadline and they said that they were going to get the speaker for the regional conference and you really need them to, and it's next weekend, right? Whatever it is. But to be able to respond in a way, I'm happy to continue to support you in this. I'd still love for you to take this on if it still fits your life. I also want it to work for you though. So if directing your attention elsewhere is better for now, that's totally okay. So one other piece before we dive into the partner activity is, there's a final acronym that you can help you as you put together a plan, which is C4. And it comes from the wilderness therapy work of Dr. Kurt Hahn and Outward Bound. So the C is concern, then feeling, O for ownership, and R for request. So with a concern, you want to state your business from your perspective, what happened, share your side of the issue from your experience objectively. This is what I remember us talking about, and we'll get to the specifics in just a minute. Feeling. It's really critical that an emotion is conveyed. How were you affected? Acknowledge where you can see where they're coming from and empathize for a moment. The important thing about conveying an emotion, though, you want to I encourage you to share emotions that allow you to feel vulnerable. Anger, resent, disappointment, frustration, valid emotion, but they tend to push the other person away and put their wall up. And it's really generally, for most of us, for many of us, it's not very hard to say that I feel frustrated or angry. So go with the more vulnerable ownership, O for ownership. Is there anything that you can take responsibility for or own? Each person accepts responsibility for their actions. You just want to avoid but you statements. So here's my responsibility, but you did this or you didn't do that. And then R for request, how do you want to move forward? What will you do moving forward? You're the only one that can control your action. So what we're going to do now is Brett and I are going to demonstrate a scenario where someone in my CCL group has agreed to write a letter to the editor and they didn't do it. We have not scripted this. Thought we would do it a little bit off the cuff so you can, you know, see what it's like to just have the words come out. You know, clearly I've thought about this a lot, so we did most of the pre-stuff. And then after we demonstrate this for 4 minutes or so, then we're going to split everyone up into partners, into groups of two. One group will have three, and we'll put you in breakout rooms. And you share your, you don't share it. You actually pretend you're that person and you call them on the phone and you have a direct conversation as if that person were the person you want to be talking to. So here we go. Ring, ring. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
Hey, is this Brett?
It is, yeah. Is this Tamara?
It is. Good guess. Hey, do you have a few minutes? I was wondering if we could chat for a few.
Yes, I do. And I'm sorry that I haven't called you. I'll just start off by saying that.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, don't worry your little self about it. That's actually why I'm calling, because I also have not called you and I feel bad about not calling you, because it sounds like you remember the conversation that we had. I think it was, 2 weeks ago at our meeting? And
yeah.
We talked about the LTE, and you mentioned that you wanted to do that. So I first want to start off by saying I feel bad, because generally what I like to do when somebody agrees that they want to do something is I like to support them more than I supported you. And I didn't. I didn't even ask you how you like to be supported. So I apologize for that. I would have liked to have checked in with you, called you, seen how it's going, shoot you a quick email or something. So I didn't do that. And I apologize for that.
Well, you owe me no apology. I'm the one that said I was going to write a letter and I didn't. So at this point, I've kind of been avoiding talking to you.
It looks like we're in a similar situation. So we're on equal ground. No shame. We get to feel no shame. First of all, I just want to check in at this point and see if you're still feeling interested in writing this. I would love to have you write a LTE for us. And if it feels like it's just not exciting or interesting to you anymore, or if it's just not fitting your life, like, it's also okay if you choose not to do that anymore.
No, I'm still interested. I think quite frankly, I'm just feeling pretty busy at work, and I also never done one of these before, so I think I'm kind of intimidated by the process.
Yeah, totally. Well, it sounds like you've done some exploring about what comes up for you sometimes when you want to do something and it doesn't happen. It sounds like you've been busy, and it sounds like also this is new for you and you feel intimidated. And I am glad you shared that, because I was going to share some of what comes up for me when I feel like I don't really know what I'm doing. And I tend to avoid the things that I think are going to make me feel stupid or incapable. And so I'm not saying that you feel that way. However, I am saying that if you do, I totally know where you're coming from. And it sounds like you are interested in doing this still, and I would love to do a better job supporting you than I did before. And if you'd like, I can do a couple things. I can send you the resources from community that walk you through step-by-step on how to write a letter to the editor. I could send you the webinar link if you like watching videos. Or we could get together at the library and do an in-person thing, and we could both write a letter to the editor.
Yeah, I mean, all that information kind of sounds overwhelming, honestly. I think I just need somebody to give me feedback if I can write a first draft or something and get some honest feedback.
Totally. Yeah, my apologies for overwhelming you. I tend to do that. So, yes, I would be happy to offer you whatever you need. So you let me know. Let me check in with you about this. What time frame do you think feels realistic for you to write a letter to the editor, to draft your first one?
Well, I guess I have a lot this week. Probably the same time around next week, I would be happy to try to shoot for.
Okay, awesome. And you said that you would love for me to read it and give you feedback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Would it also feel helpful for me to just shoot you a quick email like middle of the week and see if you're needing anything else?
That would be great, yeah.
Okay, all right. I will plan on doing that.
Thank you.
And hey, Brett, I just want you to know, no hard feelings on my end. I totally, you know, I've been in your situation so many times and I just say I do something and then I don't. And no hard feelings. I want to support you in this.
Thank you. There's clearly no hard feelings on my side. I really appreciate you taking the time just to reach out because it's been on my mind too. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. All right. Well, I'm going to do these partner breakout rooms for now. So have a great night. Enjoy your dinner and we'll talk to you soon.
That sounds great. Thank you, Tamara.
Okay. Bye. If necessary, step away for a bit. If the conversation's not going as you planned, there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, hold on a second. That didn't really come out as I wanted it to. Just rewind, like, oh, can I hit the rewind button and try that again? Or maybe don't be afraid to just say that you need a break or just step away from the conversation and just ask if you can start it up again later. Just notice what's coming up for you. And it's also okay. It's okay if these things happen. They always do. It's a proactive approach to communication that can minimize the behaviors that cause the most harm. So working through conflict is never easy. However, if we're intentional with our tone and how we communicate and willing to admit when we're wrong and take incremental steps forward, we can create fewer roadblocks. I also noticed it made me feel way more at ease when my partner was smiling. So do whatever you can to get to some smiles in your conversation. Supporting people in follow through. So setting up for success. You want to make it really easy for people to say no and be selective about what and if they want to do. If they get guilted into helping, it's more likely that they'll drop the ball. Brett was referring to this earlier. The process of helping them tailor design their own role is critical. We have a resource for you on that. Ask them what their comfort level is with their task, this task or assignment. You might want to ask what approach would you take to handle this role or this task and check to see if there's anything that they're unclear about. The other thing that feels to me very important is to have regular check-ins so that they feel, not only so they feel the support, but also so that they can have a loving, gentle reminder of what they actually not only said that they would do, but what they wanted to do. So if they lack experience with the task and haven't developed the necessary skills for the job, then you could show them or talk them through how it's done. Sometimes doing the work and letting them, you know, writing a letter to the editor and having them edit it can be valuable. And then maybe they can edit it, they can write it the second time. If a volunteer recognizes that they don't know how to execute a task to get a desired result, you could encourage self-reflection, and this can help create a more meaningful and learning pattern. You could teach them some of the things that they don't know how to do. You could have a Zoom call with them or a conference call or get together in person. And you could also ask if they want a cheat sheet, and you can give them, find out what it is about the task that may be hard. I talked about already checking in before the deadline. You want to get to them before the guilt and the shame and the overwhelm and the tail between their legs kicks in. And then you can ask them what works for them in regards to the support that they want. So the other thing in regards to building connection is being supportive, being compassionate, and verbalizing the commitment and being really clear with deadlines. You know, we've talked about this, but expressing gratitude for them as a person, for what they do and offer to do, expressing understanding compassionately for the challenges that they face, both within CCL and outside of it, and then just verbalizing the commitment. So you want to give others a deadline, even if there's no specific time. If you could say, hey, when would feel realistic for you to get this to me, you know, and having a time that you agreed on, and then make sure that you are in integrity about following up with that date. The last thing is SMART goals. So there's a concept, SMART, SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, results oriented or focused, and time bound. And having goals that fall within these guidelines really make it a lot easier for us to be successful as humans when we are trying to achieve a goal. So with that, we're going to move into our question and answer period. And we would love to hear from you.
Typical closing. So Tamara has kind of put the summary here. It's a lot of text, so I'm not going to keep it up here because, as George has asked, all of this is going to be available as of tomorrow on the Learning Center. And Tamara's email is right here and mine. I'll put those in the chat box too. Go to the Learning Center in Community so you can click on Home and then Learn Tomorrow. And then there's this tab that's right there at the top called Recent Trainings. And essentially, all of the last 10 lessons of CCU are always put here. You can also search in the search bar. I always train people. You could type in coaching. You could type in Tamara. You'd find it that way too. But just click on this and a link to that lesson with the recording, a podcast, and these slides with all of the hyperlinks to the actual resources we've talked about. Well, on behalf of everyone, let me just thank you so much, Tamara. This has been so eye-opening and just really helpful to have everything broken down into these incremental steps. It really empowers each of us to have these courageous conversations. I hope that everyone on the line got what they were looking for tonight. We really appreciate you joining us for the webinar, and we wish you well in these conversations. I love what Bobby shared when she jumped out of the breakout room. She said, I have four phrases that I'm ready to go with my next group meeting to have these conversations with. So thank you all for being on the line, and thank you for leadership, Tamara.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, and thanks to all of you for being here.